flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Bill Belichick always has been willing to go against the grain. He is a contrarian. When everybody's going one way, he's happy to go another. And at a time where we see a lot of college coaches trying to flee the game because it's become more like a business, we see Bill Belichick going the opposite way to the college game. He did not trust NFL people to do the right thing during this head coaching cycle. He knew that he could get this job. And so when there was a 5-year agreement being waved at him in a place where his father was an assistant coach in the 1950s, it became a natural. And oh, one other thing that Hembo helped point out, his coaching idol was Paul Brown. Paul Brown won a national championship at Ohio State before going to professional football to win 7 championships. Bill Belichick is now doing a reverse Paul Brown. Mm-hmm. He won all those championships and is now going back to college to see what type of success he could have.
All right, first of all, Schefter, gross. I mean, what is wrong with you?
The reverse Paul Brown? I mean, maybe on like your anniversary.
Maybe Paul Brown.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Maybe on my birthday.
You better stretch for the reverse Paul Brown. You don't want to hurt anything.
What a bunch of nonsense that is.
Oh, what on earth?
You know what? Bill always wanted to coach in college. Didn't you see what David Halberstam wrote? Which is, you can just tell. That's like from all the Bill people, because I've heard it so many effing times.
A reverse Paul Brown. Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I've heard that. Do not look that up on a work computer.
A reverse Paul Brown. Yeah, I don't know if I buy
okay,
any
but
of
like,
that.
Hell, Halberstam said he wanted to go teach at an Ivy League school. It's actually what Halberstam said, but he always wanted to go to college. Yeah. He always wanted to go to college. So you're hearing that
in
over
2005.
And over again. And so, oh, now you're hearing, well, his dad spent 1 year at the University of North Carolina. I thought his dad was at Navy. I thought that's where he wanted to go, but
well,
I guess
this is another layer to the story, apparently.
The year at North Carolina was massively impactful when he was 4 and totally doesn't remember.
There's also a big difference, Jones, between running a 3-4 versus a 4-3 and then going to the ACC.
A reverse Paul Brown. Mm-hmm. Got the job done, Kevin, in every which way.
He started that whole thing. He's like, I'm going to land it with a reverse Paul Brown. That's the last
okay,
thing
but
I'm
like,
say.
Do you know, so beyond it just being funny and just being a funny way of phrasing it, do you know how stupid it is to be like, oh, Bill Belichick's idol is Paul Brown, and Paul Brown won a championship at Ohio State and then won 6 Super
then
Bowls.
Then go coach the Browns or the Bengals.
So now Bill wants to win 6 Super Bowls and then go win one in college? Mm. Okay, fine. Maybe go to a place like Ohio State, because you ain't winning at UNC.
No, I think it's pretty simple. I mean, I guess everybody can have their own opinion on it. I think it's pretty simple. Bill wanted to coach. The NFL didn't want Bill. Bill still wanted to coach. So a college team wanted him, and he took the job, and he got what he wanted, and he got everything he wanted. He got full control. He was probably getting a nice big salary. He gets to bring all his buddies down there, and he's probably open to it. It's still football. It's different, but it is more like pro football than it was 10 years ago. I think it's a little crazy to be like, he's always wanted to coach in college. Like, what's the first we're hearing of this? It's the first we're hearing of this.
We've been covering, and not like where, some Patriots insider.
No.
Curran or somebody like
no.
that. We've been covering Belichick for a long time. I've never heard that in my life.
Like, if
that's
coached,
what he wants to do.
If he coached Navy, it would be less surprising.
That would be less surprising.
This is more surprising. This is the most... I don't know why people are trying to make it out like this was the plan all, or this was the angle all along.
Because
like he kind of knew he was going
it's
there.
It's pathetic.
Because it wasn't that.
Because
that wasn't the case.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Bill, so we got to make up the reverse Paul Brown.
The reverse Paul Brown.
Or we got to make
which
up
we all
that
aspire
his,
to.
Didn't you know that Steve Belichick, his father, not his son, spent 1 year at the University of North?
I didn't.
That he always wanted to go to college? And didn't you know that college is actually like the NFL now?
Well, that now it is.
That's why we're bending over backwards. The NFL didn't want Bill. And if you don't agree with that, read the latest from Seth Wickersham. We'll read through that coming up. But why are we making up all these ridiculous things and you're hearing about them for the
I
first
don't know.
Time? Because it's a lie. Because Bill wants to coach in the NFL, and the NFL doesn't want him. We'll get to your feedback on this, 617-779-7937. We're also talking a lot of Red Sox and Garrett Crochet today. Yes.
The reverse Paul Brown needs to be a tier next week is what somebody said on the text line.
Oh, that's top
is that
tier.
The top or the bottom
no,
tier?
No, top.
Well,
you ever
I
tried
guess
it?
I guess it depends on who you're talking about.
if you never no, tried
top
it,
tier,
it's
top,
fine,
tier,
top,
top
tier.
Top tier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's a great call. Yeah. That is our it's a Schefter drop and it's our top tier. No arguments here. Let's get some Red Sox thoughts in here as well, and then we'll read from the Wickersham story.
Friend of the show, Craig Breslow, was on last hour.
Yeah, we're ping-ponging back and forth between these two stories. Craig Breslow gave us a lot of answers earlier. Our buddy Johnny is in Brooklyn. Hello, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Not impressed with Craig Breslow, to say the least, honestly. I mean, I'm not even sure where to start, so I just go straight to the Chapman stuff. I mean, the guy's so popular along the league that he's been on five different teams. He's not even very good anymore. It was tough. I mean, you guys are great always, but he's a tough listen. He's just, if I want to be lied to, I know where to go now. So thanks, guys. You're the best.
Hopefully he'll join us again. Yeah, he's a straight shooter, that Craig Breslow.
I mean, look,
I feel like it's, but you can read between the lines, like with a lot of these guys, right? You can kind of read between the lines. Like, do you really feel like he is being given every, I mean, he said that, you know, they're trying to put a winner out there. You know,
you're wrong. You're a liar.
There's no restrictions or whatever, right? Like to field a team.
Uh-huh.
Even though they just missed on every free agent. Garrett Crochet, great trade. Great job getting the player. But free agency, they haven't signed anybody. So we're still waiting on that.
You know, like if you were going to grill me on the air about a bunch of questions about Odyssey, I would be a little squirrely too. And so I get it. Like he can't answer everything completely directly. But you can tell that he's covering for his boss. And here's what I like. Here's what I like. It's not up to him to spend $765 million on Juan Soto. That is not his call. It is not up to him to spend $219, $1 million more than the Yankees on Max Fried. It's not up to him to give Corbin Burns $300 million. That is John Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It might be up to him. And I think it probably is. You got to run everything by ownership and get him to sign off on it. But I think it's in his purview to say, we're trading for this cheap, cost-controlled starter, and we're giving up prospects X, Y, and Z. And so, all right, your owner wants to cheap out? I'm going to go make this move. This is what I'm going to do. If they pay Crochet, that's an ownership thing.
Yeah.
But acquiring Crochet, that's a Breslow thing, so we will grade the trade on its merits. If Crochet's winning
that's a
side,
win. It's a win of a trade.
Well, today.
I think.
Today.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's all we can do.
No, but I'm saying, if 5 years from now, if Crochet's a Cy Young winner and they win a World Series, huge win. If he blows out his arm and Kyle Teal's an MVP candidate, it's a huge loss.
That's a tough swing there.
We'll evaluate Breslow on that, those merits. But I do think this was his call, not ownership's call, unlike the free agents.
And just like the rumored, Tristan Casas for Luis Castillo trade with Seattle. That's sort of been rumored out there. If that happens, that's 100% on Breslow. But if you're not signing anybody to multi-year deals and you're nowhere near approaching $100, $200 million in any of these contracts, and nobody has time to hear about, you just missed. Oh, you offered this. Like, you didn't get Fried. You didn't get Soto. You obviously didn't get Snell or Willie Adames or some of these other guys that are down there. So, like, who are you in on? He did say it was not true, the
Bregman stuff.
The Bregman divide.
Do you believe it?
No.
Me neither.
But then again, it also could be as simple as they're locked in on Devers at third base, and if you bring in Bregman and move him to second, are you getting kind of diminishing returns, and are you even getting your value?
Who do you blame for Devers at third base? The owner.
Cora a little bit? No? Henry?
I think Cora.
Does Henry know what position any of these guys play?
No, but I. Well,
oh, but
probably
we're
not.
Paying him, so he can't be a DH.
We paid him as a third baseman. Yeah. We didn't pay him as a DH. I think it's that. Where
I wonder if it's Devers wanting to be a third baseman.
That could be a huge factor.
And then
too.
Cora's like, all right, like I'll support you in this,
but
even though you're killing our team.
My guess is Breslow does not want Devers at third.
I bet Breslow does not, for sure.
I'm also guessing Cora doesn't. You and I disagree on that. You think he might be more pro Devers and what he wants to do. If I'm a manager of a team, I just can't sit there and watch a guy kick a ball into the dugout every other day and have no range at third base when he should just be a DH. And so I imagine Cora wouldn't be on board with that. I think it's ownership and maybe Devers as to why he won't move, which is disappointing. And it's disappointing they don't want to give Crochet an extension. I'm disappointed with a lot of it. You can check it out again on the Odyssey app. That won't disappoint you. Take it with you wherever
that's
you go. Lots of driving during the holidays, so make sure you have that with you. You won't miss out on anything on WEEI, including our latest with Craig Breslow. Now, a lot of people, Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy conversations, as always, there.
You bet.
Good, strong, solid chat.
Yep.
A lot of them are doubting that the NFL doesn't want Bill and that Bill had options and this and that. And you're only believing in certain reports and picking and choosing.
All right. What options did he have?
Well, this is what I want. Tell me with a straight face why Bill would choose the University of North Carolina over an NFL team. If you can answer that, I've not heard the answer to that. I would love to hear it. 617-779-7937. That's the phone and text line. If you can tell me with a straight face why Bill has NFL options but is choosing North Carolina. I've heard the reverse Paul Brown.
Yep.
I've heard that his dad coached there for a year.
Perhaps he zigs when others zag?
Yeah, I mean, is that it?
No.
I don't think so either. I've heard some of these.
I mean, if people want to say he has these jobs lined up, I don't know where they are. I don't know who they are. I think almost the better conversation or the different question to ask would be, like, why don't these teams want him and should they want him? Like, when we get to it, now this won't happen until the Monday after week 18, and we find out how many openings there are, and then you start to hear who's interviewing, and then there'll be some guy this hiring period that maybe like Mayo was never a coordinator, probably some young gun that they're hoping to hire, and we can have a good conversation about
would Bill be better?
Should Team X have hired Bill instead of this guy? But they didn't. For whatever their reasons were, they're going to hire a 35-year-old guy who's been a coordinator for 1 year.
Let me give you two examples. Wickersham has reported this before. This is not new. Wickersham reported this when Bill struck out on jobs last summer. Bill was not a finalist for the Falcons job.
Wasn't one of the three guys. Yeah.
So they went with Raheem Morris, which is the kind of guy you're talking about. Now, is that the right decision? We can debate, but they did. Schefter said this yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. He said it again on Get Up when he wasn't talking about dirty sex moves.
Man.
He brought up that Washington had a conversation with Bill, and they went with Dan Quinn. So...
Dan Quinn and Raheem Morris are getting jobs over Bill.
Thank you. Bill is not choosing to go to North Carolina. He's choosing it because it's his only option. There aren't even high-level college jobs. Never mind NFL jobs. He has to go to the University of North Carolina, where didn't you hear?
It's wild.
His dad spent 1 year there when he was six.
Yeah.
So Seth Wickersham has his latest up now at ESPN. Yeah, Wick a scam. It's all garbage.
There's a lot in there.
It's
another long article.
In choosing UNC, Bill Belichick chose himself. It is. There's good stuff in there.
No, there is.
Let me read you a couple of items here, Keith.
Okay.
Something about ending his career by not chasing Don Shula's NFL wins record, writes Wickersham, but instead on campus appealed to Belichick. Sure. When he agreed to terms with North Carolina, it was not only because of a new challenge after coaching only in the NFL since 1975, at a school where his father, Steve, once worked when Bill was a boy, and not only because his future in the pros was unclear, it was because, in the words of a confidant, Belichick is disgusted in what he believes the NFL has become. This is a big FU to the NFL, another Belichick confidant says. So this is Bill saying, you might want me, but screw you.
No, this is,
I'm going to college because I'm disgusted at what professional football has become.
This is Billy Madison in science class talking to the girl, and she's disgusted. And he goes, no, I will not make out with you right here in the middle of class. She's like, what? Like I don't want to be in the NFL. It's like, nobody wants you anymore. Which, again, you can debate whether that's smart by these NFL teams or not. That just feels like it's the case. You know, he talked about in the article, early on in the article, like he and all his buds, right? Like Mike Lombardi, Patricia, McDaniels, they would all hang out every week and be like, all right, what jobs might be available? What NFL jobs might be available?
Mm-hmm.
And they would go through them. And they were like, well, out of the openings right now or the potential openings, Chicago's probably the best one. But they wouldn't. But they even recognized like they're going to go offense.
They want an offensive.
They're going to go Ben Johnson or they're going to go somebody like that, which is what we've all said, which is what everybody says. And then you go through it. He's already removed himself from the Jets job. That's also in the article. Like, okay, so that's another job. Boom,
he doesn't want them. They don't want him.
Then for whatever reason, the Jaguars thing, maybe they got wind that they weren't interested. And then that's when Mike Lombardi piled on Tony Khan and whatever else. So sort of burning that bridge. Dallas, they only really referenced Dallas for a second.
What? Just quick. I think they burned the bridge after they knew they weren't getting it, though.
No, I agree. Yes, no, yes, I agree. Yes. But I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Or maybe they just – they also said, like, he doesn't talk to a lot of teams around the – there's not a lot of communication between Bill and his people and current NFL teams is what it sounds like. And so whatever limited interactions they're getting, it doesn't sound like he's a hot commodity. I was a little disappointed that they only gave the Dallas Cowboys, like, one sentence. It was like – oh, they're not sure if they're going to move on from Mike McCarthy. Like, whatever. Yeah, it's quick. Because I was like, it's early in the article.
Where is it? Where is it?
It's right after the Bears thing.
I'm looking through my notes. Hang on. Dallas was a potential spot. Nobody can take a collection of talent and turn it into a team like Belichick. Debatable. But nobody knew if owner Jerry Jones would move on from Mike McCarthy. And if he did, if he'd want to hand the team over to Belichick. So you're right, just like a quick
aside.
That
was it. Like, I was like, oh, but I feel like that could be a spot. They mentioned the Giants in there, but Belichick thinks that Daboll should keep the job. Also, Daboll would be an interesting one. If Daboll gets fired, would Daboll be the UNC OC? That'd be a good get for Bill, Belichick. But either way, they sort of talk about all this stuff and about how like Bill has kind of his guys and then everybody else is sort of not really his guys. And then that led him to go to college. But no, I just think they actually read the room rather than waiting around and then even having a job like this snapped up. I think Bill was like, another year of McAfee and Manning cast. I can't do it.
I don't know.
I would rather go coach college than do this.
This is what people told you. You heard this. You know this. Curran came on and said it every week with us when we'd asked him about Bill. No. He's going to the media because he wants to stay relevant and he wants to seem young and he wants to stay in the minds of these owners and prove that he's not just this ogre that gets up in front of the press conferences and belittles the media. Nope, there's a personality there. There's a human being there. He wants to make himself more hireable with NFL owners. It didn't work. It was a ploy.
No.
And so now he has to go crawling to the University of North Carolina and do the reverse Paul Brown.
Yep.
Which I don't even know if it's legal in that state, quite
North
frankly.
North Carolina?
Yeah.
Maybe. The South, I feel like, probably whatever, anything goes.
Jeremy Fowler, here's another one who reported this.
All right.
ESPN. Yeah, ESPN lies. The sense from NFL owners' meetings is that Bill Belichick simply hadn't garnered much NFL interest at all this cycle. Perhaps that would have changed. Perhaps.
Maybe.
But Belichick goes with the sure thing and a fascinating new start. So that's another person saying there's no interest in Bill. And I don't even need the reports, FYI. You should just use your brain and say if there was interest in the NFL, he would never even dream of going to UNC.
No, I even go back
to their gum on the bottom of his shoe. He'd step right over it. He wouldn't even look at UNC if he had real options.
It's very bizarre. I also think that Belichick Kraft weird final press conference just for like the photo op in that press conference. I still go back to it where Robert's like, I wish him well, unless like we're playing against him on Sunday. And like the way that ended, you were like, Bill's going to walk out of here and get a job tomorrow in the NFL.
I mean, that's what I believed.
And then we're going to circle it, right? We were like, oh, the Falcons play the Pats in 2025. Like we were already like looking ahead to when Bill was going to play him. But no, pretty much across the league, I don't know if he's blackballed or what, but across the league, they were like, no, we don't want him. And he's not even getting a sniff.
Again, I don't think he's blackballed. I think he's asking for too much, and no one believes him if he says he'll just coach. That line about Terry Fontenot, again, we can read it coming up. That line where like he had to sit in the meetings with the Falcons, and Terry Fontenot had to talk about the draft, and Bill felt like he was being lectured. And like Terry Fontenot invented the draft, and Bill's looking at him across the table like, I know more than this guy.
Yeah.
Bill will not subjugate his ego. He won't sit there and listen to another GM. He won't. So even if he tells you in an interview, he will.
Yeah, it'd be tough for that guy.
He wouldn't be the
whoever
first,
the GM is.
He wouldn't be the first person to lie or embellish to get a job. And no one believes him. No one believes him. And so that's a big problem. You could say Bill could still coach. No one thinks he's just going to coach. The idea he just wants to coach and he doesn't want power and money. Wasn't that the clip we played from Rap Sheet off the top? Rap Sheet's like, this wasn't about money. That's, oh, was it?
It's about both.
Oh, was it?
And he
it?
Got it.
It's just about
where
coaching.
Where else was he going to get it?
Then go coach at some high school in the middle of nowhere where, you know, there's no media and there's no money. Go do that if it's just about coaching. Of course, it's about money and power and everything else. He has those two things, albeit at a mid-level ACC school at the University of North Carolina. 617-779-7937. You could jump in here on Jones and Keefe all day long, talking Red Sox, talking Bill Belichick. We'll continue to do that coming up. We will get to Jerod Mayo and his job security as well. Schefter gave an interesting answer to WEEI Afternoons yesterday. I want to know, are the Red Sox done? Or do they still have something up their sleeve? I'm a little discouraged after talking to Breslow earlier today. We'll get to that.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The reality is players make decisions about where they want to play for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, once players get to free agency, they have the right, they earn the right to determine, you know, the team they'll play for the first time. And so, you know, we will and we have and will continue to identify players that we think improve our team, will make aggressive pursuits. And, you know, my hope, my expectation is that we're going to continue to improve the team. And I think, you know, there's always momentum and excitement and enthusiasm when 30 teams get together, whether that's the trade deadline, the GM meetings, the winter meetings, to kind of accelerate transactions. But there will be some great decisions that were made at the winter meetings. There will be some decisions that probably won't play well over time, but the offseason is a long way from being over.
On the one hand, I guess that's mildly encouraging. Like,
get all that?
It's a long way from being over, but hey, just because it looks good now doesn't mean it's going to be a good contract. I get that, but
I kind of wanted to jump in early, but we were having such a good rapport, I didn't want to ruin it, where he says that players sign for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
I was like, let me stop you right there.
Not with you.
One, I can think of one, money.
Probably highest on
Do you think
list,
Juan Soto went to the place where he could get the best house, or did he go to the team that offered him the most money? Do you think a lot of these other guys? Now, sure, every once in a while, you know what? Maybe you lose out on a guy to L.A. They want to play in L.A.
Maybe.
Especially, you know, maybe some of these Japanese pitchers would prefer to be on the West Coast. And the Red Sox did get Daisuke Matsuzaka. They've had a long line of Japanese pitchers. But maybe some of these guys would just prefer to play in California. Maybe some of them want to play with Ohtani, whatever. But I don't think you can say that about every free agent. You think Willy Adames didn't take the most money that was offered to him? And, like, I would think almost like 90%, like 99% of guys,
well,
in baseball free agency, go to whoever offers the most money.
Even still, all right, they signed for a variety of reasons. Not with you. I mean, who's the last guy you signed?
Chapman.
Who's the last big ticket guy you signed? Trevor Story? And again, I don't really even count that. That was like an afterthought at the end of spring training, just about.
I mean, he's probably the answer only because it's over $100 million total. So that's probably the biggest contract. I think that's the most recent big contract signed in free agency.
In the last about decade,
yeah,
they signed Trevor Story late. They signed J.D. Martinez late. And they outmaneuvered everyone at the winter meetings for David Price. I think that's the real answer. And Breslow's not responsible for all of that. I mean, he's been the chief baseball officer for 1 year.
Yeah.
But there is a trend going on there, and you were in on Soto. You were in on Fried. You're the interest kings. So why should we believe that there's genuine interest and ability to follow through on this? And the answer is my boss is cheap. He's not going to tell us that.
Yeah, right.
The
answer is
my boss doesn't want to do it. And so how are you supposed to answer that? So you do it in a word salad like he did. But I appreciate, if this is what happened, Breslow pivoting and saying, all right, if we're not going to spend, I'm giving up some of these prospects.
Yeah, we got to add to it. And neither you or I aren't the, oh my God, what if the prospect turns out to be great? Like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Same.
You can't keep them all. They traded what ended up being in their system, according to Sox Prospects, who does a great job. Was it prospect 4, 5, 8, and 18?
Something like
in their
that.
System.
Yeah. MLB Pipeline has 4 of the top 15, and yeah, they're definitely 4 and 5.
So you still have your top 3 guys.
Teal and Brandon Montgomery, who was their first round pick a year ago.
Yeah. So you still have essentially your big 3 now, and then other guys that were sort of rumored to be in trades were guys at the major league roster, like Willie Abreu coming off a good rookie year, Tristan Casas even. You still have all those guys. So you still have plenty of ammo to get a pitcher from Seattle, throw him into your rotation, and still have a handful of top prospects or young players.
Okay, so I'm with you on all that. And I agree. I'm happy to trade prospects. I just wish they would spend money too.
How about this?
I wish they would do both. I have no problem trading prospects. I don't appreciate being told for 3 years, Keith.
Full throttle.
Full throttle and not doing it.
That didn't help.
But fine. That's a lie. Whatever. I don't appreciate being told for 3 years, well, just wait for these kids to get to the big league level. And then they trade them all. Like, you know, it's like, you know.
We were waiting, and then you got rid of them.
But it's so clear what that was. Like, I don't care that you traded prospects, but I don't like being lied to in the meantime. What it's clear now, and it's becoming clear, is that it was just all about cheaping out. It was all a way to avoid paying players. You don't sign anybody in the meantime. You tell them about the prospects that are on the way. You don't sign anybody. You trade all the prospects to get players. The one consistent thing is you're not paying anyone at the top of the market. And so it's all a way to just not spend, which is frustrating.
So it is frustrating. It feels like they won't be a big spender. So that sucks. But let's put that to the side for a second. And if you're just talking about improving the team, making a run at the playoffs, and being maybe even a World Series contender, which in baseball it really is just being in the playoffs. If they walk away from the offseason with Garrett Crochet, either Gilbert or Castillo from the Mariners, and Teoscar Hernandez, win?
Yeah, you're better.
Yeah.
You're better.
So I'm like, you're right. You're a little like let down, and they're doing it. It's kind of a snaky way to do it because you're not spending real money on any of those guys.
What if you're subtracting Casas? Morosi said yesterday, the Red Sox, even after the Crochet trade.
Like somebody else.
Me too. So I'd rather trade prospects than Casas. But the Red Sox, even after the Crochet trade, are working to acquire one of the Mariners' starting pitchers, sources say. That could be Kirby. It could be Gilbert. The most likely one sounds like a potential Castillo. For
Is he the Cassis worst of those three?
He's the oldest. I like him.
Okay.
He had a down year last year compared to the year prior.
The other two guys are pretty nasty.
And they're younger. And I don't love the idea of moving Cassis's bat. I probably would do it for the other two. I don't know that I love the idea of doing it for Castillo.
Well, now you're in a spot where like you have a bunch of outfielders. You have a few guys with roster like Rafaela can play a few different spots. But if you're moving on from Casas and you're not moving Devers off of third base, now like you've created another hole. And if you're bringing in Hernandez, you're adding another outfielder, so sort of like a logjam of outfielders. So yeah, that becomes like a little bit of a head scratcher. And like he's a good player, but he's not good enough, I don't think, to then create this whole like, all right, what do we do with all these other guys? Like you got to make sure all the pieces fit somehow. So yeah, I'd rather keep Casas. I don't want to.
Here's,
I mean, I'm not trading one of the, are you trading one of the top three guys? Are you going to trade two of your top four guys in this offseason for?
I would for the right guy, sure.
It, but is Luis Castillo the right guy?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I wouldn't even move Casas for him.
Got it. Okay.
So.
Just sign Corbin Burns.
Well, that's the easiest way to do it. Yeah. That's the easiest way to do it. And so, yeah, I just don't appreciate being lied to. Like, well, we're, you know what? The smart way to build is actually through the farm system. And then it becomes time to pay a free agent and supplement that with your prospects getting to the major leagues, and you trade away the prospects. I don't care about trading the prospects. I care about being lied to. And the clear thing going on with the Red Sox is they don't want to spend. And this hammers that home. Even through the excitement of Crochet, which if you can't tell, we are excited about that move.
Yes, good move.
I think they need to do more, but we're excited about it. I just think that's the real takeaway here. They're doing whatever they can to not spend on big-ticket items, which you're the Red Sox, you should do. Here's a bit of a conundrum for you, Keith.
Yes.
John Heyman, earlier today. The Red Sox seem intent on moving longtime star third baseman Rafael Devers off of third base and to first.
Who said that?
John Heyman.
All right. We talked to Craig Breslow.
Craig Breslow and Alex Cora both say Devers.
Both are adamant that he's not.
Devers is the third baseman.
Okay.
Okay, so do you believe the Red Sox or do you believe John Heyman? That's a tough one for you.
I don't believe that guy.
That's a tough choice for you.
I don't believe Heyman.
You believe the Red Sox over Heyman.
So they're moving Devers to what?
He says they're going to move him to first.
No. Why can he play first base? I love how they make it out like any jackass can play first base. Says, that's not true. I need him butchering balls at first base.
Focus less about where he's moving.
Like, what? If he said DH, maybe it'd be a little bit more
okay,
open
you
to
don't
it.
Believe him saying he's moving off of third base?
I don't believe him.
You believe the Red Sox?
Yes. Friend of the show, Craig Breslow.
Okay, so you believe
man of his word.
You believe the Red Sox.
Every word he said.
You notoriously are big believers in everything the Red Sox tell us.
Yep.
So you're a believer in the Red Sox.
Yeah, they said that, you know, wait for the prospects. They're going to keep all the prospects. And
okay.
They got rid of one of them.
Rafael Devers is our third baseman.
Heyman obviously has an ulterior motive because Scott Boras wants his client signed. And
is Bregman his guy?
I should double check that. I thought he was. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. No, I don't. Let me
double check that. I might be talking out of school.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
I might be talking out of school on that. Who is his agent?
He does have Bregman.
Boras, right?
Bregman. He has Bregman and Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Okay. So two.
Couple of guys.
He's like 99% of the
He has Corbin Burns.
Alonso wouldn't work in that scenario, but Bregman would be that's a reason for Heyman to put out there that the Red Sox are willing to do it.
There you go.
Or you could look at it the other way. Heyman's plugged in with Boras because Boras knows the Red Sox are going to sign Bregman and put him at third and move Devers to first. Either way, I thought that was a very direct there weren't a lot of direct answers. That was a very direct answer from Craig Breslow.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out one
Zach
way or the
Allen?
Other.
Zach Allen.
That's a another name.
He's got a lot of guys, actually.
He sure does.
Yeah, he's busy.
Do you think they're done, Keith?
No, they can't be done.
My answer was no earlier today after listening to Breslow. I'm worried.
I don't know if they're going to. Well, they're not getting Corbin Burns, and I don't think they're going to get.
How about these Mariners pitchers?
I think they got one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think there's some smoke there. I think they end up getting one of those Mariners pitchers, and maybe to your point, maybe that's what Breslow feels like. That's all he can do. And he's like, all right, I'm not going to take this job, and you're going to make me improve the team, but I can't spend big money on it. I'm not just going to sit on my hands, so I'm going to move some of these guys. He also doesn't have the direct attachment that maybe Heim Bloom has to some of the prospects because he didn't draft all these guys.
Good point.
He wasn't here for that. So if he's like, all right, great, they're ranked really high in Baseball America, that's awesome. Maybe I don't view them the same, and I need to win now. I need to turn it around now. I mean, this job is... You're probably as safe as like the Bruins head coach being the CBO of the Red Sox.
That's a good point.
They're going to fire you in 2 years anyway.
I think you're less safe because you can
maybe
even,
less safe.
You can even win here and they'll still fire you.
That's true. You win a World Series. And
you know,
like
the Bruins. A lot of those coaches were decent coaches, but they weren't winning.
No, that is true. So he's going to take some swings at it. Also, as a pitcher, wasn't it like the whole thing we were sold with him is he's going to really change the pitching?
Yes,
the pitching is going to be a big thing, like how he identifies pitchers and this, that, and the other thing. So if he goes in there, and if your rotation next year is Garrett Crochet, Luis Castillo, Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, Brian Bayo, I think you'll take that. We had a texter point out, hey, guys, Lucas Giolito's still on the team. Great. He could be the sixth.
I legit, because they were teammates with the White Sox, I forgot about him.
Oh, they were, yeah.
And I was reading, I don't remember where, but I was
he'll
like,
give up
oh,
a
yeah,
home
they
run.
Still have him. Oh, yeah.
He'll give up a dong.
He'll serve up a nice tater.
he'll serve one up for you.
617-779-7937.
No, I was just going to say, I think they will get somebody else.
Okay.
It might just be a trade, but there are other rumors out there. The Crochet trade makes me feel pretty good.
Keith, one trade, and all of a sudden, Keith is buying everything the Red Sox are selling.
Not
the whole
free agency, though.
The whole offseason, he's like, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, I don't trust them, they're never going to be close, this and that. One trade, and you're like,
well,
I believe the Red Sox.
Because didn't it feel like the top four prospects should not have been untouchable, but we were getting the whiff that they were?
Yes.
And you're like, all right, if you're just going to hold on to those guys, like, what can you really do? And then the biggest trade, I don't know if there's going to be a trade where a guy goes for more. Like, if you rank, like, where these guys rank in baseball.
I doubt it.
I think that's probably as high of a trade. So if they're willing to do that, and I don't think the price for Castillo will be as high. Now, if you get the other guys, maybe a little bit different story, but I bet they keep adding, at least via the trade. I don't love the confidence, though, in free agency.
Here's the thing. I'm nervous they're not done. And you can go listen to the Craig Breslow interview yourself on the Odyssey app. It's up now. I'm nervous that they are done, rather. They shouldn't be. I don't want them to be done. They should continue.
They did mention that guy before Chapman, who we were like, who? What are you talking about?
Justin Wilson. Yeah. Okay. How'd that get buried?
Someone tweeted
at us, how did that get buried?
You guys are sleeping on Justin Wilson.
No, we definitely are. 617.
Do you know what Justin Wilson's ERA was last year for the Reds?
What's that?
5.59.
Good get, though, Craig.
It's like two of those jokers you added at the trade deadline.
Sorry we didn't ask you about that, Craig. Good get. Again, that interview's up on the Odyssey app. We'll get back to your phone calls. We've been talking about two stories all day long. Let's get back to the Patriots, a new story. Adam Schefter yesterday, I think, left the door open for Jerod Mayo getting fired. Let's get to that next.
I think they intend to bring him back. I think that's their plan. Could the final month of the season deteriorate to a point where that gets called into question? In this league, anything's always possible. Do I think that they're thinking like that today, December 11th? No. I think that they think that they have their coach, and they want to give him a chance to grow and build around him, and he'll be the guy. Again, every year there's something that changes, and somebody gets put on blast that we weren't expecting, and maybe that'll be Jerod Mayo, but I'm not expecting that to be the case right now.
Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. You can check that out on the Odyssey app. It's also up on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Good way to watch Schefter every week. In fairness, Keith, at the end, he said he doesn't expect Jerod Mayo to be out, but I thought the body of that answer left the door open for it could happen here over the next month. He's not saying, like Bedard, he's coaching for his job or anything like that. But he wasn't definitive there saying Mayo's back. He said, I expect him to be back.
Yeah.
That wasn't definitive saying, yeah, no, he's their guy. And like, come on, Robert Kraft compared him to his wives. Of course he's back. He said, no, it happens every year and we get surprised every year. And I read that as he's leaving the door open.
I kind of think a lot of reporters right now are kind of like, waiting to see what the final four games look like. And they're like, we can't really commit one way or the other. I think Curran's probably the one the closest to being he's safe.
But Curran also said Wolf is safer than Mayo, which
true.
Is
yeah, yeah.
to me a way of saying he's not safe.
Yeah, true. And like, you just can't imagine a 3-win season, if that's how it ends up being, having no changes. Right? So you're left thinking, all right, is Robert Kraft going to just run it back? And no one's going to sit here and say, oh, you changed the wide receiver coach. Oh, how bold. Or like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's not probably going to be good enough.
Right.
And so, yeah, how does this look over the final four games? And admittedly, it is probably a pretty low bar. Like, I do think Mayo's back. If I had to bet Mayo's back, you know, I also wouldn't have bet that Bill Belichick was going to go to college. So, like, right. you know, sometimes you can be really surprised by things.
If you listen to the Bozo Touchdown Parlay every Friday, we lose bets.
We've missed.
Constantly.
We've missed in the past.
Yes, yes.
But, no, I do think he is back. But you can't be so definitive because there is a chance they end on a 7-game losing streak. And there is a chance they have fewer wins than they did last year. And it looks like a jailbreak. And it's like, what were you doing on this play? Or what were you doing? Like, why didn't you do this? Or like, just a lot more questions. Every week has been kind of an adventure. You legit don't know what you're going to get with week to week with the Patriots. Competitive game, not competitive game. Jerod Mayo like being really conservative. I mean, that's pretty consistent, but it's just how much does it cost him versus other games? So, yeah, I think there's still a lot to be determined.
The more we go along over the course of this bye week, the more we move along. And we'll get back to the Red Sox trades. We'll get back to Belichick to UNC. This is a brief diversion because I thought that Schefter answer was interesting yesterday. We'll get back to all those with your phone calls, 617-779-7937. The more I think about it as the bye week goes along, the Cardinals are vulnerable, right? They've lost 3 in a row. They're 6-7. It's not ideal. The Patriots got to fly across the country and play out there. But they did have a bye week. They had a ton of time off. This was a chance to self-scout, reevaluate, really focus on your next opponent. I mean, I don't know that they have to win this game, Keith, but
I don't think so.
But they better come out looking buttoned up. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it can't be five false starts in the first half like it's been in some of these games. And it can't be turnovers galore and they're sloppy. They can't be sloppy in this game. That I think, is fair to say. You can't guarantee a win for this team against anybody. There's a bunch of games we thought they could win. They win none of them. Tennessee, Jacksonville, etc. So there's a bunch of games I thought they were going to win. They don't. It's fair to demand, with Mayo, some people believe, coaching for his job, they come out and they look buttoned up, not sloppy, and that the players still want to play for him. That is important to see, and I think you're going to see it one way or the other early on in the Cardinals game. They either have that or they don't, and one would be a real, real bad sign for him if
they
don't.
Well, also, the way their defenses look this year has put a big kind of look at Jerod Mayo, being like, all right, that's one thing that there shouldn't have been as big of a drop-off on. And so if Kyler Murray has his best game of the season, which is certainly in play.
Oh, it's
because Trevor Lawrence did, Aaron Rodgers did, Matthew Stafford did, all these guys did against the Patriots. So if Kyler Murray lights it up, you're going to say, all right, coming off the bye week, because that's also a big thing that we look at with coaches. And, like, what an advantage it used to be for Bill. Like, remember that? Like,
yeah.
2 weeks for Bill to get ready for you? Like, good luck. And, like, I think Andy Reid might be, like, undefeated after bye week. He has some crazy record after bye weeks. And I know that kind of gets built up in lore and, like, who knows. Like, you might just play bad teams after your bye week. Like, that might be part of it. But this is Jerod Mayo's first year.
See how they do.
First week. You had 2 weeks to get ready for the Cardinals. Like, what were you doing with your time?
Let's see how it looks. So I think that's important. But Schefter, I believe, left the door open there. Rubber will meet the road, or start to anyway, beginning on Sunday in Phoenix. 617-779-7937. Two dominant stories all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet. We'll get back into your thoughts on him, and we'll give ours next.